Welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's webinar, SQF Edition 8, The Changes You Need to Know About. My name is Chase and I will be moderating the session today. I would like to introduce you to today's speakers. First, I'm pleased to introduce Christy Grzywinski, the Senior Technical Manager for the Safe Quality Food Institute. Christy delivers education solutions for SQF professionals, including SQF practitioners, consultants, and auditors in support of SQF Institute's globally recognized food safety and quality management standard. She has more than 10 years of experience enabling training and education in the food service and food manufacturing industries. Welcome, Christy. Second, I would like to introduce Jeff Chilton, our Vice President of Professional Services here at Alchemy. Jeff has more than 30 years of experience in the food industry, specializing in food safety, quality assurance, plant management. Prior to Alchemy, Jeff spent 18 years as a consultant helping clients achieve and sustain GFSI certification under the SQF, BRC, and FSSC 22000 standards. Jeff is a certified SQF auditor, SQF consultant, preventive controls for human food lead instructor, and International HACCP Alliance lead instructor. Welcome, Christy and Jeff. During today's presentation, Christy will start by explaining SQF Edition 8's goals and structure. She will then walk us through the code's new features and key changes, and will also discuss timeline, implementation, as well as resources available. Jeff will then offer implementation strategies for the new code, and we will then finish off today's session with a Q&A session at the end. With that, I will hand it over to Christy to get us started.
All right. Well, thank you so much. What a great introduction. Thank you, Alchemy, for this opportunity to talk about the SQF code. And thank you to all of you for joining us here today. We're going to kick it off right off the bat with a poll. And this is your opportunity to participate. I'm just going to have a couple of polls throughout this presentation. So if you could take a moment, tell me who you are. What is your current SQF certification status? Are you still exploring it and you're not certified? Are you currently certified to Edition 2? Or is your SQF system ready and the next step is the audit? So, first one, you're just kind of, new to SQF. You're just starting out. In the middle where everybody seems to be falling is if you're currently certified to Edition 7.2, the current edition. Or the bottom one that we have is you've got a system in place, but you're not quite yet certified. Just wanted to see where everyone falls so that I know who I'm talking to. All right, I think maybe we could go ahead and get started. Looks like everybody's kind of falling into one predominant category here. So it looked like the majority of you, about 83% of you, were currently certified to Edition 7.2, and that's really what I was hoping or expecting to see, right? If you're interested in Edition 8, you're probably currently certified, just trying to understand what the changes are. And we'll go into very briefly what some of those key changes are, and then point you to some great resources towards the end, and then Jeff will wrap it up with how you can go about implementing our new Edition 8 goals. So let's start out talking about, well, where did we start with this Edition 8? What were our goals? Where was our starting point? What were we thinking about as we started Edition 8? Four things we had in mind. We really wanted to take the opportunity, as we always do. Continuous improvement is part of our goals as a standard auditor, just as it is part of your KPIs. As a manufacturer, as an SQF certified site. So we have to continuously improve our program. It's what you're required by us. We wanted to redesign the code to fit the needs of the industry. So, we collect information over time and we heard a lot of things from you, our current users, and we really wanted to make sure that the code better fit you in your operations. And so that was one of our goals. I think we were doing well, but we wanted to see what we could do better. We wanted to update the system elements and the good industry practices, of course, continuously improve on that science and sound requirements within the code, and take a look at some of those new regulatory requirements out there. Can we grab anything from those new regulatory requirements and embrace that within the standard itself in Edition 8. We wanted to build the quality elements, the quality, what was level 3, to address continuous improvement again. So as I'll talk about in a little bit later on, we, with the combination of having level 2, level 3, or food safety and quality combined into level 3, were we doing quality justice? And what we decided that, you know, to make it a strong quality system, as strong as the food safety systems were, we really wanted to kind of focus on that and see what we could do to improve the quality systems aspect of our standard. And then lastly, one of the most important things that we look at is you know, looking at the GFSI benchmarking requirements. These are required of us as a standard owner for benchmarking to GFSI, and that's the reason that many of you do SQF or one of the other standards perhaps as well, is because of the GFSI benchmarking. This certification, SQF certification, is recognized by many buyers, because it's GFSI benchmarked. And so with the Edition 8, we decided to do a complete structural change. And we took that single code, that single ginormous code, if you ever printed out the whole thing, it's rather large, and it encompassed from farm to fork the entire food supply chain in that one standard. And what we wanted to do, looking at those four goals, is see what we could do to make the standard better fit the industry segments that we serve. And so what we did, if you recall, if you go and look at your code, look at Module 2, you flip it sideways and you see three columns. Do you know what those three columns mean? They're broken down into three levels. And essentially, SQF, when it started, wanted to take a stepwise approach and help people who were very new to food safety. If you can remember back many years ago when food safety really wasn't that predominant, SQF had started with this stepwise approach. And level one was a way to get people to start thinking about food safety, or in emerging markets, get them to start thinking about food safety or in a food safety kind of mindset. So level one is that far left-hand column in Module 2, in Edition 7.2. Now we took it and broke it out into its own separate standard, into its own standalone code. It's called Food Safety Fundamentals. So essentially, we just took those elements out of Module 2 and put it into its own fancy little code. So if you aren't currently certified to Level 1, you're not going to have to go through Level 1. All we did is just separate it out for those sites that use it. And then the big one is level 2. And level 2 in the middle there, in that middle column within Module 2 of 7.2, is food safety. These are all the food safety elements, food safety system elements that you need to meet if you want to be certified for food safety, right? And what we did with level 2 then is break it out by industry sector, because what is required for a manufacturing site is definitely not going to be entirely applicable at the same in the same manner for, say, a produce grower site, right? And it's a little bit different for packaging and a little bit different for storage and distribution. So what we wanted to do to meet the very first one of our goals was to then break those food safety elements out into industry-specific requirements. And you'll see, if you've taken a look at it, the little subtle differences. And then lastly, to meet our third goal, was to break out the quality elements, break them away from the food safety elements, and put them into its own standalone quality code. So that's essentially what we did, is break then this big code into things that were nice little buckets, quite frankly. So you have your food safety fundamentals, which was formerly level one. Again, if you're not level one, then you really don't need to worry about that. We're not going to require you to go to level one. Many people have either jumped right into level two or level three, and that hasn't changed. Level two is now standalone food safety elements, and now level three, the SQF, what is now the SQF quality code, are the standalone quality elements. So if you're currently level three, you're going to look for your food safety code, and then you're going to look at the quality code. And I'll talk a little bit more about this as we go along. So just a little bit of a recap into this next slide is we've now developed seven distinct codes customized to meet the needs of the industry. And there they are listed there. And we continue with these seven separate codes to offer that farm-to-fork solution that we've always had. Even we'll be able to do it a little bit better now, since you'll see some of these sections of the code are better customized for the industry segment. So now, actually, what we did, and there's one code in there that I haven't talked about yet, we've added a new retail code. And now we'll go literally down to the level of the consumer in the supermarket with our retail code. So we've even expanded that farm-to-fork solution. The codes are now easy to identify. We've got our cute little color-coded covers. And these codes are now available on the SQFI website. There's a picture of our website right now. What we did, as I keep alluding to, is we've customized those system elements and Part A of the code. So Part A was the certification kind of steps and overview, and the system elements are Module 2. So we've customized those for each one of those industry segments. Let me talk a little bit more about that. Oh, now we have a poll. Let me ask you real quick. Have you taken a moment to look at the SQF Code Edition 8? Have you hopped on our website and downloaded your code? I just wanted to see if you have had an opportunity to take a look at this, especially since, if you're looking to be recertified, you're going to need to, start looking at those programs and see what's new. Okay, let's go ahead and close this out. It looks like we have, we're almost evenly split with the majority of you, about 52% of you saying yes, you've had a chance to take a look at the SQF code edition 8, and the rest of you, 48% of you saying no, you haven't. So what's holding you back? Take a moment, go to our website, sqfi.com, and you'll see there's a big, bright, colorful post right there in the middle of the page, and click on it. Take a look. For your code. And I will tell you right now off the bat, your food sector category has not changed. So your module has likely not changed. I will talk about some of those tweaks to the food sector categories, but for the most part, your modules have not changed. So if you were manufacturing before, you're manufacturing again. So if you were modules 2 and 11 before, you'll be 2 and 11 now. So that has not changed. Let's talk about just a little bit more about some of some of those changes. The food safety fundamentals, again, that was formerly level one. This is for new businesses, new to food safety, new to selling to major buyers, and just wanting to start off with food safety. So the food safety fundamentals, HACCP is not required. So if that risk-based food safety system using HACCP codex is not required. This is not GFSI benchmark. And just remember, this is a stepwise approach. And we have retained those steps, but just kind of gotten rid of the titles, calling it that. The food safety code that was formerly level two, those middle columns, of those system elements. This addresses the FSCs that you see there, but broken down into those individual industry sectors. And then we do have a new retail code. And then lastly, we have our quality code, which was formerly level three. We've separated out the food safety elements and left just the quality aspects of that and put it into its own separate standalone code. How cool is that? And we'll talk a little bit about that. So if you're currently level three, you can certainly choose to have your food safety and your quality audit done at one time. Or for this next certification cycle, you could choose to do your food safety and then later do your quality. And the key point about this is this bullet here, the second to the last, the results of your quality audit will not impact your certification to food safety, whereas before it was. There was an impact. If you had failed your level three audit, you failed both food safety and quality. Now that they're separate as food safety and quality, your food safety score and rating is separate than your quality code. I could talk all day about this, but let me get myself started. Here's the food safety fundamentals. This is what it looks like. Again, there's some of the points that I've mentioned in the past. I won't go into this too much. We'll keep forging ahead with the food safety, since that's probably what you're most interested in. This is what the food safety code for manufacturing now looks like. If you are a manufacturer in some way, shape, or form, and this is where the majority of people fall, what majority of the sites fall, your FSCs are listed there. Again, those were slightly tweaked, but you're not likely to see a change. So a lot of our baking sites, our beverage sites, snack food sites, if you were module 2 and 10 before, you're going to be 2 and 10 now. If you're 2 and 11 before, you're 2 and 11 now. And this is, you'll see that the Part A is customized. So we'll talk about manufacturing to some degree. So all the basic sections are the same from code to code, but like the language is just kind of changed. So the scoring and the rating across all the codes is the same. The process for certification is the same, but it's more like the language and some subtle changes across all the codes. So this is our manufacturing code, this blue, kind of went with the blue SQF blue code so that you easily recognize this. And these are all your food safety requirements. So they incorporate the system elements, which is module 2, and then modules 9, 10, and 11. And then we have our separate primary production code. So if you were a grower of any sort, something on the farm, if you were formerly modules 2 and 7, then you're now still 2 and 7, but you're going to find your food safety elements in this green primary production code. Then here are the food sector categories, 1, 2, 3, 5 and 6, actually 2 we've eliminated that in addition 8. That's my fault for, I think I popped that back in there on accident. If you were modules 5, 6, 7, 7H, or 8, you'll find your food safety elements here. And then you'll see some subtle differences in Part A and the system elements in terms of saying we don't do a site audit, we do a farm audit. So subtle differences like that so that you can recognize yourself and your industry in there. Let's talk about next, storage and distribution. So storage and distribution, definitely a little bit different than manufacturing, right? So this is unique for our storage and distribution folks. Again, the Part A and system elements, you'll see it. It is unique for just sites that store and distribute. Just distribution centers, not for a site, manufacturing site that has a distribution center. This is just for sites that only distribute food. And if you were 25 or 26 before, you're going to be 26 now. We created a new food sector category 25. And I'll talk about that in a little bit later. So everybody that was either 25 or 26 before is now 26. Now we have a separate standalone code for food packaging for the manufacturer of packaging materials. And obviously packaging, the manufacturer of packaging materials is quite different than the manufacturing of food itself. So we worked with our industry experts here to help us customize those elements, and they really did a fabulous job. If you are a packaging manufacturer, take the time to take a look at this. These are your food safety elements. If you're level three, then you'll also have to look at the purple quality code to have both the food safety and the quality. And then lastly, we're talking about our new code for retail. This is for retail food stores, and this is an option we wanted to offer to the retail food industry. This is FSC 24. We came out with a brand new standard. It's very different from the other codes in terms of those system elements. And the food safety elements. If you are in a retail environment, not a commissary, not a manufacturer for retail, but this is exclusively for those stores. This is brand new, and you can take a look at this and see if this is an option for you. We're working with many of our retailers to have them execute this within their store. Next up is the quality code, and this purple code now encompasses those quality elements only. So no food safety and quality, this is just quality. So take a look at this. You'll see a lot of the same standards. We did add a couple of new ones, you know, like talking about SPC, and things, topics such as that, to really make this its own, to really achieve that goal that we had in terms of making sure that the quality system was just as strong as the food safety system. So take a look at this if you're currently level 3. Some of the key points, as I mentioned before, this can be audited to combined with your food safety audit like you do now. Or you can do this separately, and you don't have to do it with your next certification. You can wait for the next time. Again, remember that the benchmarking, GFSI benchmarking, is for food safety only, level 3 was benchmarked to GFSI simply for food safety only. So this is can be a standalone. The quality audit is not scored and it's not rated. So again, if you fail the quality audit for some strange reason, you're not going to lose your food safety certification, which is a good thing. Let me give you some key updates, some significant updates here in Part A. So Part A is the stuff way up front in the code, and again, there's very small changes, not a lot. This probably encompasses all of the biggest changes that occurred in Part A. So the one thing that we did throughout all the codes is you'll notice I'm using the word site rather than supplier. It was getting very confusing about whose supplier we were talking about. Is it the supplier's supplier? And now it's the site supplier. So the supplier approval program does truly apply to the supplier and not the site, right? It was getting very confusing. So we tried to use the term site rather than organization, supplier, or facility. You'll see that actually is one of the biggest changes that we made, is just in that terminology right there. Here's some of the cool requirements that we added in Part A. So this is the certification processes. We added a requirement for operational and cleaning shifts for all shifts, a pre-operational inspections where applicable, right? So you're not going to do this on the farm, and that's one of those subtle changes. So for manufacturing sites, you're going to see this, having to do and review your pre-operational inspections. There is an option for corporate audits, and this probably isn't what you're thinking of. This is if you your organization is part of a big corporate group, and say a lot of your policies and procedures come out of your corporate office and then executed at your site. So what the auditor will now do is sit down at the corporate office and do a review of those policies, procedures, but then you will still, as you'll see in the requirements, you'll still be audited just as you were before as to the execution. This just saves time for the auditor and having to review these policies and procedures over and over and over again when he can do or she can do one review at the corporate site and then see how they're executed at the site itself. Not a huge change, it's just a more of a convenience change. We did add a few new mandatory elements. And remember, the rest of the elements are not optional. They all must be implemented at the site, but these mandatory elements are the ones that the auditor cannot mark as exempt or as NA. They must be implemented by the site. So we added complaint management, we added allergen management. Yep, that's a big one. So you can't say, no, allergens don't apply to me. They apply to everyone. We changed the time frame for the closeout of corrective actions. What were they before? For minors, it was how many days? 30 days. For majors, how many days was it? 14. Right now, we've changed it. Closeout for Edition 8 is 30 days for both minors and majors. That's kind of nice, isn't it? I think what we realize is most people were just taking, or your certification body was giving you 30 days for both anyway, so we just decided to switch it all to 30 days. Gives you a little bit more time for your majors, right? Because actually, quite frankly, you could probably use a little bit more time. Removed OIPs as a response. Those are getting a little tricky to use by the auditor. So essentially, if you were given an OIP, it meant you met the requirement of the code, so you were in compliance. But yet there could be something that you could have done differently as in terms of a best practice. Little hard to use. It really was. So you're not, the auditors weren't dipping a toe into consulting. The unannounced audit protocol remains the same. However, we did add an option, and this is the option of the site. The site is the only one who can choose this. An option, if you want to have an annual unannounced audit, you want to do an unannounced audit every year, you have that option. Otherwise, all sites will be on that that annual one every three certification cycles. That will remain, but some sites want the option to do an annual unannounced audit. And they have that option. You're not required, it's an option. And that will be recognized on the certificate. Let's see, withdrawn sites are now posted to the SQF website. This surveillance audit one, that was just a change in terminology. Don't worry about this one too much. It was just, this more so impacts the certification bodies. It was unclear whether this was a surveillance audit, was a full site audit, or just a visit, or were we just reviewing policies and procedures. It just reviews the fact that this is a site visit and a review of the policies and procedures. There's a new section on the compliance program. Take a look at that. We did add some additional requirements for our technical experts. You remember, these are the people that are at the certification body who review your audit report before it's issued to you. And we wanted to be sure that the technical experts have the proper expertise. And then we did redesign the food sector categories, and I'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. In this system elements, here are some of the key changes we made. There's more emphasis on that commitment of the entire site. And we thought this would help the practitioner get this entire site and the senior management more on board. There's a new element on change management, making sure that the site properly rolls out all changes. So check that element out. And emphasize responsibility of the site management for training and communication. In the past, I think it was always just put on the shoulders of the practitioner, but with this slight wording change, we've put more responsibility on the site and the senior management for making sure that people are properly trained and that the food safety policies and procedures are properly communicated. There are now required monthly meetings between the senior management and the S2F practitioner, and I know a lot of people have questions about this. Is it an official meeting? You know, like the details about it. Essentially, what we're looking here is to make sure that the site and the senior management, the practitioner and the senior management are in communication, and that there's there's flow of information between the two. So if you watch these recalls and withdrawals and significant foodborne illnesses, you know, lack of communication between the site and the practitioner often plays a role. So what we're looking for is that there's communication between the site management and the practitioner on a regular basis. Those blackout periods that you can designate as part of your unannounced audit, we want to be sure that sites are using the blackout periods for legitimate business reasons only, not that the practitioner is on vacation or anything less than a true business reason. We changed the name of business continuity to crisis management. 243, that's the food safety plan. We've really broken that out. Take a moment, if you haven't already, take a look at 243, not right now, after my webinar, but take a look at that food safety plan. We've really broken that out from one element on the food safety plan to many. So it breaks the food safety plan down by the steps outlined in Codex, and now you'll be assessed against each one of those steps. So instead of just having one nonconformity to the food safety plan, it could be what part of the food safety plan is failing. So a lot more detail within that food safety plan. New elements on food fraud and food defense. Those are came to us from GFSI, and there are requirements for having a food fraud mitigation plan for two aspects of the products coming in and the product on site. Has it been altered or tampered with? So you're looking at not only the stuff coming in, but the stuff within your site. Same thing with food defense. You're looking at the product coming in and you're looking at your product on site. So those have been enhanced. Environmental monitoring is a new system element within the code. Everyone is going to have to do an assessment to determine if they are at risk from an environmental pathogen. So take a look at that element 248 in the code. Another one is a new element regarding product startups and changeovers, and this specifically is in product identification, 2613, product identification. And think about the number one cause of recalls. What is it? Product labeling. So people are pulling back product, pulling it off the store shelves because either the label is incorrect or it doesn't have the right label on the right product. There's something wrong with that labeling. You don't have your allergen statement correct, so on and so forth. Product being pulled off the shelf because the label is incorrect. So what we did was add this element to help make sure that we're doing everything that we can to make sure that the right label is on the right product and the label is correct. More on the food fraud. It's in two sections, and we did this because of GFSI. Identity preserved food was moved to the quality code, but the allergen requirements still remain. And the allergen section has been kind of enhanced a little bit. And again, you're looking to identify what is your risk from an allergen and how are you addressing it. Pet food is mandatory. This is now a mandatory element. It's mandatory for pet food. Not mandatory for animal feed. And then we did add a statement about labeling products containing gluten. Here are the changes in our food sector categories, mostly around nuts. I think nuts were always in food sector category 3 and 4, but it wasn't clear. So we just made that clear. And really all that you're going to see here is ways that we just clarified what was included and what wasn't. We did eliminate the use of FSC 35, which is brokers. And these are sites that are brokers that do not cite product. We've eliminated that from Edition 8. If you have a distribution center or a warehouse, then you would fall under distribution and should have always fallen under distribution or storage. So we wanted to make sure that we were doing the right thing in terms of our storage and distribution centers and remove that broker FSC. Next up on our poll, looking at all these changes that we've gone through, which one do you think might have the biggest impact on food safety? Or if you don't think it's one of these, chat in what you think it might be. These are the ones I thought might be the biggest impact to food safety, your environmental monitoring program, your emphasis on senior management, examining the potential for food fraud. Will that food fraud mitigation plan, will that have a very big impact on food safety? Just in your opinion, which one do you think might have the largest impact on food safety? These are the ones that I thought were pretty big. So having that environmental monitoring program, you know, thinking about the number one, you know, the largest causes for recalls, you know, withdrawals and recalls due to listeria or other environmental pathogens present in the environment, not just in the product, but in the environment, having to withdraw for that, and incorrect labeling. All right, let's go ahead and move ahead. Timeline for implementation. This is, we started way back, oh my gosh, even before October, let's say October, with providing to our certification bodies and our technical advisory committee and even our training centers. We've provided all three of those very important committees that we have a copy of the potential changes to the code and asked them for feedback. And that started way back in October. We took those changes and created a draft code and let you guys look at that. So thank you. If you provided a comment, we read each and every comment that was provided to us via our public comment period, which was January 4th to February 6th. Thank you again very much for that feedback. We took that very seriously. We had over 900 comments, and we looked at each and every single one of those and incorporated them as we could into the code. And then we published the code on March 31st, and then I'll talk a little bit about January 2nd, our implementation date. Here are some of the tools that we're going to have available. We've got our code out March 31st, the change documents. I worked very hard on those change documents, and I know I've got errors in there, but we'll do a redo on those soon. Those code change documents, take a look at those. Those are very critical tools. We've got those available on the website. Our training, we're working with our training centers to get the instructor-led training out there for our implementing SQF systems course, our quality systems course out there as well, getting our criteria documents out there, and Jeff will be talking about our online training tools that Alchemy is developing for us. In terms of implementation, here is everybody, I'm sure your very first question is when are we going to be audited to Edition 8? And that will be our first audit to Edition 8 will begin on January 2nd. So if your certification audit date, recertification audit date is December 13, 2017, you will be audited to 7.2. You won't be audited to 8.0 until next December. So keep in mind that the implementation date for all desk audits, site certification, and recertification audits is on January 2nd or later. Some of our resource tools, as I said, are change documents, FAQs. We have a wonderful FAQ in-depth document and a webinar, this additional webinar that we conducted right after we released the code. If you go to our YouTube channel and look for that introduction to the SQF code, it's a two-hour webinar. We took a lot more time and went into a lot more depth. Connect with our licensed training centers for information about training. And then Jeff, again, will talk a little bit more about our online training tools. Lastly, let me talk about our SQF conference. That one is going to touch on all these key topics that we've added to Edition 8, such as change management, equipment specifications, food fraud, allergens. And we did our first review of all the prospective sessions just last week, and it looks like we're going to have some great sessions for you. Registration is open, so if you haven't attended before, take a moment to check out the website, and we will have the final program up there fairly shortly, I say within the next month or so. Lastly, let me ask you, what resources are you looking for? What resources do you need? Chat goes into the chat box or on the next slide is my contact information. You can send me an email, or if you can't remember how to spell my name, you can send it to info@sqfi.com. I showed you the slide that had the resources that we have coming out that we've thought of. What are some of the ones that you would like to see? Is there something else that you would like to have? And next up, I will hand this over to Jeff to talk about some of the implementation strategies.
Okay, thank you so much, Christy. I appreciate you participating and all the great information that you shared with us today. In this section of the webinar, we're going to focus on implementation strategies to help you be successful to understand and comply with the new code requirements. So we encourage you to prepare early so you can continuously improve your food safety and quality systems and be ready for your SQF Edition 8 audit in advance. So in this section of the webinar, we're just going to take a deeper dive into the new requirements and discuss some of the best practices that you can use to assure your readiness for the future new edition of the SQF code. So on the agenda, we're really going to break it out. We're going to talk briefly about code awareness and training, and then we'll discuss the gap analysis process that you could use to assess the new requirements themselves. And then we're going to talk about some of the changes to the major programs and to the existing programs within the SQF code as well. And then we'll wrap up with some discussion on implementation best practices and some resources. In terms of code awareness and training, as you notice from the poll results, over approximately 50% of the participants said that you had taken time to read the code, and the other 50% are just now starting that process. So there's really two things to do. One is to make yourself aware of these new standards, and then secondly, to really educate yourself on the requirements. So, you know, you can certainly make yourself aware by downloading the free codes off the SQFI website, and most importantly, taking time to read those. Christy shared with you about the Learning Lunch, and we provided a link there, so that's a great resource. And you'll certainly see additional webinars and articles and blogs on SQF Edition 8. So those are great ways to increase your awareness. But really, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And in this case, it's important that you do know and learn what those new requirements are. So you really want to take time to attend a more detailed, like SQF 8 edition conversion course that usually a lot of companies will offer 4 to 8 hour courses to give you a great overview of all the information that's contained. And then, as Christy mentioned, we have the online resources for the SQF Edition 8, which will be coming soon, and the quality course as well. So as you really think about how can I approach this as a company and decide what's the best method for me to use, we would encourage companies to go through a formal gap analysis process. So in this, you could actually have a downloaded copy of the SQF code requirements for all the major codes, as Christy outlined for you, in an Excel version. And by going through the gap analysis process, you really go through line by line and look at the requirements of the code, compare that to your existing written food safety and quality programs, and your associated records, and then your facility condition as well, and help make a determination, are you in compliance or are there gaps that you're going to need to fulfill to come into compliance? And then the best way to be able to manage that process is after you've completed the full gap analysis checklist, take those areas where you've identified the gaps and document those in a corrective action register, and then use your SQF team to be able to manage that process so that ultimately you can develop a roadmap and have a list of specific actions that you want to take and assign the responsibilities and timelines to take you through that process. So that would be the best starting point that we would recommend. So this slide talks about some of the major new programs that are actually required as part of SQF Code Edition 8. And she touched on the food fraud risk assessment and mitigation. And this is an area that really does require a lot of attention. And what we found at Alchemy is that there's just a tremendous, you know, lack of knowledge and lack of understanding as to the potential implications of food fraud on the food industry. So I think it's much more widespread and applicable than what most companies believe that it is. So there's two parts to the SQF code requirements for this section. So one part, as she mentioned, is you do have to do a risk assessment of your raw materials that you use for potential food fraud implications, both from a food safety standpoint and if you're certified under the quality standard as well, from an economic standpoint as well. And then beyond the raw material risk assessment, then there has to be a food fraud mitigation plan developed and implemented. at each organization. So there's a lot to learn in the industry for most companies to be able to comply with that. There is a food fraud database that's available. That's, you know, certainly one of the best industry resources to be able to help with that process. That's available on our Alchemy Academy site and also on the USP website that maintains that database. But this is an area that I really encourage everyone to educate yourself a lot more about the requirements and the best way to be able to manage that process. And then in terms of the environmental monitoring program, this is, again, an area, as Christy mentioned, every single company is going to have to do a risk assessment to determine the applicability for this. And in most cases, you will need an environmental monitoring program. So, you know, it's absolutely critical to set up those programs correctly with the correct identification, typically of the three or four different zones that would be established at each company. And then, most importantly, to identify the sites that may be subject to sampling and then the frequency of those sites as you pull those programs together. And then you can see the other major programs, the line changeover and clearance procedures that are related to product identification and allergen control, critical part of the process, and help you reduce your risk of a recall. And then equipment commissioning to make sure that new equipment that you're bringing in is going to be sufficient for the use that you intend it to, and if it's used for any types of antimicrobial intervention, that it's validated to be effective. And then we'll talk about the SQF management commitment, where it's actually required a monthly meeting between the practitioner and the management team at this point, and then some additional programs around the bodily fluid control and containment and inedible products. So, okay, so we have a quick poll question for you. So out of all those new programs that we just talked about, which one do you think you might need the most help with? Would it be the food fraud risk assessment and mitigation, or developing an effective environmental monitoring program, or perhaps the line changeover and clearance or equipment commissioning program? So if you could take a second to answer that, we would appreciate it, and we'll look at the results. And the food fraud risk assessment and mitigation is the overwhelming leader in that area, followed by environmental monitoring, which is what I anticipated that we would see in that survey. So, and then there are changes to existing programs. I'm not going to go through all of these in a lot of detail, but as Christy mentioned, you know, the food safety plan went from one element in the checklist to 17 different elements in the checklist. And in addition, there's been seven additional elements added to the allergen management side of it. So there is certainly more detail around those major programs, along with the food defense plan. The internal audits, you know, two parts to that. You need to have the facility inspections as part of the GMP compliance and structural conditions, in addition to your SQF system audit. And then you can see some of the additional points on this slide where there's been some changes that you want to take a look at in the new code requirements. So in terms of implementation best practices, so once you had completed the gap analysis, and we talked about the development of the corrective action register and using that as a roadmap to guide those changes, then once you feel like all those changes have been actually implemented and you have the associated records to support that as evidence, then we would suggest conducting a formal internal audit of that process to verify your compliance so that you can do that and make sure that all the gaps have been successfully closed through that process. And then other types of best practices for implementation in terms of the SQF practitioner meetings with senior management, I would use a standardized agenda for that and make sure you're covering all the topics with your internal and external audit results and customer complaints and other components that you want to discuss in that meeting. And then using your SQF team as champions just to be able to cascade awareness and training throughout your organization to be able to promote this. And we certainly always encourage use of a third party to help with or verify that compliance. But ultimately, we certainly all have to be prepared by January 2nd and then be ready to celebrate your success at that point. We just want to share a few resources with you. The first is the SQF's online course and the certification exam. So it's a great resource, certainly the most convenient and the quickest way to be able to complete that training. So you will need it, it will be beneficial for you to be able to take that training to raise your awareness of that. And then, as you can see in the bottom of this slide, the different types of exams that are available to you, and you can certainly complete those exams to be able to demonstrate your competency and understanding of the SQF code. And then for compliance training, you know, just a quick note about the Alchemy key products and core platforms. So we certainly have our Alchemy Player and Manager solutions that delivers both food safety and workplace safety courses in several different languages that you can use. And then it does a great job of maintaining your training records for all that training that's been delivered to you. And then we also have the Alchemy Coach application, which is used for verification of the effectiveness of the training that's been provided, and the Alchemy communication programs with the huddle guides and signage and posters that a lot of companies can use on a regular basis to be able to reinforce that message that you want to continue to send on a regular basis. And then here we just reinforce our Alchemy Professional Services division. We do have a great team of consultants that can certainly help companies with their GFSI compliance. We also help with ISMA compliance and training needs, both from SQF training and preventive control for human food and HACCP workshop training. Murray, Chase, do we have any questions we'd like to address?
Yes, sir. Well, first and foremost, a quick thank you to Christy and Jeff for all that wonderful information. Christy, we're going to direct this first question your way. We had a question coming around. If our audit window is between December of 2017 and February of 2018, would we need to prepare for both 7.2 and Edition 8, or do we just focus on Edition 8?
That's a very good question. What date is your recertification audit date? So that's what you want to look at. Is it in 2017 or is it in 2018? Essentially, is the recertification audit date on or after January 2nd? That's what's going to tell you. Just keep that date in mind, that January 2nd is kind of like a drop-dead date. And then, too, honestly, you're going to want to work with your certification body and decide, you know, where you're going to be. I think at that, you're kind of straddling both. I think you're going to just go ahead and go to Edition 8. But, again, definitely talk with your certification body. That one's a little tricky. But for most people, it's a little bit more cut and dry. So keep that January 2nd date in mind. So anything on or after is going to be to Edition 8. That's a good question.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. Christy, we've got one more question for your. It's around Level 3 facilities. They go on to say, if we choose not to do the quality audit at the time we normally do our food safety audit according to the new 8.0 code, will we still be qualified as a Level 3 facility during the recert, or do we have to do the quality audit at the same time that we're doing a recert under our current food safety audit to maintain a Level 3 facility?
Okay, so just imagine that the levels are going away. So now you just have food safety and quality. There's no combined food safety and quality. So you're going to have a food safety audit, a quality audit. It is up to you if you want to do them at the same time. So with Edition 8, when you have your food safety audit, it is just to food safety. So again, you can combine it with the quality, but just think of those two things as separate now. There's no longer that Level 3 where they're combined. Okay, so you can choose to do quality at a later date, but that just means that your food safety audit is just your food safety audit.
Perfect. Thank you for that. Jeff, we'll direct this question your way. Can you please clarify about allergy management? They are specifically talking about pet food manufacturing. And they were asking, under the FSMA regulations, I thought pet food manufacturing was exempt from allergy management. Can you speak to a little bit and talk through that?
That is correct, for your understanding. And the preventive control for animal food rule does not require you to address the allergens as potential hazard. So you are correct in your assessment of that. And Christy, I guess I'll let you speak to that towards the SQF code for companies that are certified under animal food categories as far as the SQF expectation for allergen management?
So for the pet food, was it for pet food or was it just for food going to pet food? I think I missed that part.
No, that's a very good clarification, but they did not specify. It was specifically just
okay.
Talking about...
Just about pet food?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sorry. So for PEPFAR, they do have to do that assessment to determine their risk. And definitely take a look at that section in the code. I don't have it open in front of me. I don't think I could open it quick enough to make sure I know what I'm saying. So I'm just going to point you to the code and say take a look at that. Also, we have addressed this in our FAQs, so take a look at that. And last but not least, you know, if you can't get a good answer from those two resources, go to your certification body, and they can clarify that for you.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that. We're going to try to squeeze one more question. They were asking in regarding to HACCP versus HARPC and how it is applicable to the new SQF code. So under the existing system, they ask HACCP is a requirement for the SQF code. Is that going to continue to be a requirement, or will HARPC simply be acceptable under the new code?
I knew that question was going to be asked, a very common question, and it is a very good question. You know, so consider the fact that not every site around the globe, this is the global certifications, is not either based in or selling to the United States. So keep in mind, GFSI requires the standard to have a HACCP-based food safety system, and the HACCP must be based on Codex HACCP. There has been some discussions about this and allowing, you know, kind of what is required out of the FDA FSMA rules. But right now, what it is a codex-based HACCP plan. So if you look at the requirements of the practitioner needs to have an understanding and a knowledge of HACCP, and the site must have a HACCP plan in place for this program, you know, a GFSI benchmark certification.
Terrific. Thank you for that. And while you were answering that question, I'm going to just jump back to the animal food question real quick. I have the code in front of me. I'm not exactly sure who answered that question, but in the SQF for manufacturing Edition 8 code, in the table of contents, if you open up Module 3 and Module 4, which are on pages 45 and 55 respectively, speak to animal food in particular, and so it will be a good place for you to just go and do a little research to answer your question. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to just take another moment to thank our presenters, Jeff and Christy, and to everyone who joined today's webinar. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day to be with us. Thank you so much, and again, have a wonderful day.